Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Nun Zayin. Today's daf has been dedicated by Maya Safdi in memory of Nat Levy, Natan ben Salha, on his first yotzeit. Ruach Hashem, Tanichenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Fuash Shirema Yaakov ben Ora. Israel. Amen. We are starting on Nun Vav Amud Sheni, and we are going to start two lines from the bottom. In our last sugya, we discussed the practice of the people of Yericho, that their custom was that they would leave vegetables for or as pe'ah for the aniim. Pe'ah is when you leave the corners of the field in order to let the aniim come and take the produce. The problem with that was that the pe'ah, according to the law, vegetables are not subject to the law of pe'ah. And therefore it would be a problem to leave pe'ah to the aniim, because if it's not subject to pe'ah, the law is you have to take ma'aser on it. So they were taking the pe'ah and they were not giving ma'aser. So he was feeding them, they were feeding the aniim tevel. So the hakamim were against it and they rebuked them. Mihu bi'adam. And the Gemara yesterday told us that it wasn't that the Anshei Yericho weren't familiar with the laws of Pe'ah, but there was a machloket. There was an issue over here where they were taking the bulbs of the turnips and they were pickling them. But as they were pickling them with their stems or their leaves. And the machloket was that once you pickle the bulb, which is definitely considered an ochel, definitely considered food, does the leaf or the stem of it go after the bulb? So Anshei Yericho said it's considered an ochel. And since it's considered an ochel, it's subject to the laws of pe'ah. And the Chachamim held no, that it's still considered a leaf, and therefore it's not considered an ochel. And only things that are food are subject to the laws of pe'ah. Should be pointed out as well, another law of pe'ah is only food that can be stored, which means non-perishable items. Generally speaking, vegetables are perishable items. However, in this case over here, since it was being pickled, so therefore it's being stored. So everybody would agree that from that standpoint, it is considered subject to pe'ah. So the only argument was those leaves or stems that were on the bulb of the turnip itself, is it subject to the pe'ah or not? Comes the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Berishona, originally, before the rabbis rebuked the people of Yericho, Hayu notnin pe'ah lelefet velechruv. The people of Yericho, they used to give pe'ah to the aniim from the lefet, that would be the turnips. And again, like we said yesterday, to the leaves of the turnips. Because everybody would agree that the bulb itself, if you're pickling it, is going to be subject to the laws of pe'ah. In any event, they used to give pe'ah on the lefet with the kruv. The kruv would be the cabbage. Rabbi Yoseh Omer, Rabbi Yoseh says, af lekaflut, that they would give pe'ah also to a vegetable called kaflut. That would be, in English, we would call it the leeks. Betanya idak, we have another braita. Hayu notnin pe'ah lelefet ul kaflut. Tanakamav, the second bright, this is they used to give pe'ah to the lefet and the kaflut. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af the kruv. So Rabbi Shimon says in the second bright that they would even give pe'ah to the kruv. So the Gemara says, Nema tlata tana'ehavu. Let us say that there are three different shitot over here in what the people of Yericho did. What would the three shitot be? Well, you have the Tanakama of the first Braita that says they gave Pe'ah only to Lefet and Kruf. You have Tanakama of the second Braita that says they gave Lefet and Kaflut. And then you have Rabbi Yosin, Rabbi Shimon of the respective Braitot that are Mashma that they gave from all three. From Lefet and Kaflut and Kruf. So therefore, what I want to say, it seems we have three different Shitot in explaining the minhag of what Anshe Tiberia did. So the Gemara says, "Lo, no, don't learn it like that. Tre tana'e havu. There's really only two shitot. The Tanakama the Rabbi Shimon, which means the Tanakama of the second Braita. What did the second Braita say? The second Braita says, Notin pe'al lelefet with a kaflut. That shita. Tanakama de Rabbi Shimon, the Tanakama of the second Braita, Hainu Rabbi Yoseh. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yoseh of the first Braita. What did Rabbi Yoseh say in the first Braita? When he said, Afle Kaflut, Rabbi Yoseh, he meant to say that not only did they give Pe'ah to the Lefet, but they also gave to the Kaflut, because the opinion before him said, Notin Pe'ah le Lefet for the Kruv. So Rabbi Yosef is saying, now that they give to the Lefet, the first item that was mentioned by Tanakama, but they also gave to the Kaflut. So therefore comes out Tanakama of the second Braita is Rabbi Yosef's Shita of the first Braita. It's the same Shita. That what? Only Lefet and Kaflut. That being said, the Tanakama de Rabbi Yosef, Hainu Rabbi Shimon, and the Tanakama of the first Braita, that said, notin pe'ah lelefet velekruv, that's Rabbi Shimon of the second writer that says, af lekruv, which is when he says af lekruv, he means not only to lefet, but also kruv. So it comes out you only have two shitot, basically, in this Braita. You have really Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, which means do you give to lefet and kaflut? Right, that would be according to Rabbi Yosef, or do you give to Nefet and Krub? That would be according to Rabbi Shimon. So let's read again. Lo, the Gemara says no. Tre Tana'e Havu. There are really two shitot amongst the Tana'im, what Anshe Yericho did. The Tana Kama de Rabbi Shimon, which means the Tana Kama of the second Braita. That's the Braita that brings Rabbi Shimon in there. Hainu Rabbi Yosef. That's really Rabbi Yosef's Shita, or it's Rabbi Yosef himself, of Braita number one. Now, Braita number one clearly said that Rabbi Shimon says that they gave Pe'ah from Lefet and Kaflut. That's the Shita. Rabbi Yosef says Lefet and Kaflut. V'tana kamad Rabbi Yosef, and the first Tana, in the first Braita, it's called the Tanakama of Rabbi Yosef. That's Tanakama Braita number one. Hainu Rabbi Shimon, which Rabbi Shimon said you only give from Lefet and Kruv. So those are the two shitot. Lefet and Kruv or Lefet and Kaflut. So the Gemara says, Umay Af. So then the word Af doesn't fit in, because in the Braita, the first shita, let's say, says, Barishuna you notin pe'ah le Lefet ve le Kruv. That's two items. And then Rabbi Yosef comes up as Af the Kaflut. Af is Mashma. Not only the two you said, but even a third. So the Gemara asks, Ubay Af. So the Gemara says, Akamaita. It's going back on the first item, which means you that said, Tanakama, that you give a Lefet and Kruv, I say no. I say Lefet. I agree with you on Lefet. But I say Af Kaflut. So the Af is not going on all two of them. It's going on the first one, which means not only you said Lefet and Kaflut, I argue on you. So you said Lefet and Kruv, I argue on Lefet and Kruv. I say not only Lefet, but also Kaflut, which is the leaks. So therefore that's how you have to learn the Af, meaning both Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, when they said af, they weren't including a third species. They were just switching one of the two species of the shita that was mentioned before them. There's only two shitot. Tanu Rabbanan, Ben Bohayan. Ben Bohayan was a fellow of a person that his father's name was Bohayan. Ben Bohayan Natan Pe'al Yarak. So he gave Pe'ah, he gave from the vegetables. Uba Aviv, his father came, Bohayan. So he saw the aniyim, they were all walking away with vegetables. You know, they were taking the vegetables as pe'ah. They were carrying them. And they were about to walk away from the garden. You know, they just got their pe'ah. So Bohayan tells them, Banai, hashlichu me'alichim. Please, take this pe'ah that you just took, put it back. Don't take it. Why? Because he really held that this is not ma'asir, this is not pe'ah. And really hayavin ma'asir in these things. So Bohayan was trying to impress upon the aniyim, please, if you're all good, don't take this pe'ah. We really not allowed to eat it. Just put it back. Oh, but what about their compensation? So he says, Ve'ani noten lachem kiflaim bim'usar. And I'll give you double of what you took, but from food that was taken ma'asir already. So the Gemara says, "Lo mipne she'ini tzara." So then he comes along and says, "This is Bohayan explaining himself." He says, "I'm not telling you to keep this pe'ah over here because I'm stingy or something like that." Because the Hachamim say that you don't give pe'ah to the vegetables. Don't think I'm trying to, you know, be stingy over here with you, and that's why I'm telling you to leave it, which means you might think that I'm just using a tactic to get the pe'ah back from you, and I'm not giving you anything. He's nowhere. I'm going to give you a double. Don't think I'm trying to get out of this over here because I want you to give it back. No. I really want to give you your compensation plus, but the reason why I'm telling you to put it back is because halachically, you're not allowed to take this item over here because ma'asir was not given. So therefore, he was, he did such. Now Rashi over here, let's look at Rashi. Look at Rashi, Dibura Matril, En notin pe'ah liyarak. Rashi says, Mishum de mefaka' le mima'asir. Because over here he's learning a little different. Rashi's saying, once you give the pe'ah to the Levi, you are taking it out of the subject of ma'asir. You're now taking the Hayuva Ma'asir off. Tichtiv uba Levi ki inno chelik v'nachala imecha. Mi she'inno nachala imecha hayav l'na'asir. Yatsa pe'ah she'esh lo nachala imecha de'efker ninu. Which means he holds that pe'ah is considered efker, because the anim can take it. Once it's considered efker, so now the Hayuva Ma'asir is off, and therefore it's like you robbed the Leviim from, you know, something that should have belonged to them. And therefore the anima patur from ma'asir. So it's not that they're eating tevil according to this Rashi. According to Rashi earlier on yesterday's daf, he made it like it's kayuv ma'asir, and the anima taking an item that ma'asir was not taken from. And what's happening? They're eating tevil. Here Rashi saying something else. Here Rashi's saying the pshat is you exempted items from ma'asir, and that's like you're stealing from the Levi'im. But they're not eating tevin. There's no chayiv ma'asir over here. So what Bohayan was saying is, listen, we don't want to take the chaylik away from the Levi'im. You know, this item is really not chayav and pe'ah. There should have been ma'asir taken to give to the Levi'im now. So therefore, give me this back and I'll give you back other items that chayiv ma'asir was indeed taken. So it seems that she has two variant shitot. So then Mefarshim should go and explain exactly why that she over there said tevin and over here just saying you're taken away from the to the Viyim. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Lama lele memra lehu lo mipeni mipene she'ani tzara. Why did Bayan have to explain to the Aniyim that I'm telling you this not because I'm stingy and not because I'm trying to be a miser with you? So the Gemara says, "Ki hechi delo limru dachuye kamad haylan." Exactly, because he didn't want the Aniyim to come along and say, "Yeah, he's just pushing us off." I mean, he just wants to take our pay'ah away, and he knows he's not going to give us double the amount. This is an excuse for him to get back the original stuff. So if he had to explain himself, please, I'm not trying to be stingy with you. I just want to take it back so I can give the ma'aser, I'll give you back double. He wanted the Anim to believe him that it wasn't a ploy to save, to save money. Tanur banan. Barishona, originally, this is discussing now a practice that happened by the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. בראשונה היו מניחים אורות קדשים בלשכת בית הפרווה. Originally, when they used to bring a korban, קדשים, that's a korban that would bring the בית המקדש, the skins of the animal, they would skin the animal, you don't put the skins on the מזבח. So the skin of the animal, they would leave it in a certain area in the בית המקדש called לשכת בית הפרווה. There were six different לשכות, offices in the עזרה. There was three in the north of the Azara and three in the south. Bet HaParva was one of the offices. It's a room, and it was in the southern side. It was called Bet HaParva after the guy that built it. The guy's name was Parva, so they named it Lishkat HaParva. So all the skins would go in Bet HaParva. Ula'irif, and in the evening, Hayu mehalekin otan le'anshe Bet Av. So they would split it with all the Kohanim that would work in the Beit HaMikdash on that day. They would all get a division of those skins of the animals. The Kohanim that work on a given day in the Beit HaMikdash are called Bet Av, which means Moshe Rabbeinu, let's get the history of the Kohanim now. Moshe Rabbeinu originally split the Kohanim into eight groups. All the Kohanim of the world were split into eight groups. They were called Mishmarot. Came Shmuel HaNavi and David HaMelech, and they came and added more groups. They added 16 groups, and altogether they became 24 Mishmarot, the Beit HaMikdash. Now, every week, another Mishmar would serve. So basically, each group of Kohanim would serve twice a year. Right? And some would serve even a third time. Now, those Mishmarot were very, very big. So you couldn't have all the people of the Mishmar serving in the Beit HaMikdash on each day. So they would split the Mishmar up into seven parts. So each Mishmar had what's called a Bet Av. There were seven Bet Av to each Mishmar. And every day, one-seventh of the Mishmar would serve in the Bet HaMikdash. Meaning, on Sunday, a part of the group would serve. And then Monday, a second part of the group. So those smaller groups were called Anshe Bet Av. Okay? Those were the ones that served on a daily basis. So what the Gemara is telling you over here, who gets the skins of the animal? So the rule was, the Kohanim of the Bet Av that was serving that day, every night after the service was over, they go to Bet HaParva, and they count all the skins up, and they would divvy it up amongst the Kohanim. What happened? You had these Kohanim that were bullies, that were strong, and they were muscling the extra skins for themselves. So now, already the Kohanim, the Hakamim saw that this is leading to fighting. This wasn't fair. So what they do? Hitkinu shayu mehalekin otam me'erev Shabbat le'erev Shabbat. So they decide we're only going to split the skins up instead of on a daily basis from Friday to Friday. De'atyan kulehu mishmarot v'shaklan ba'adadeh, which means on Friday the entire mishmar. The end of the week, right? The entire mishmar that served, they would come to the Shkat Bet HaParva, and they would split the skins up. Now, what were they hoping over there? When you have the whole mishmar, so the bullies are not going to muscle around the whole mishmar. Now you have a lot of people, so that'll keep everything, in check. Everybody will take their right division. But that didn't work out. It says, Ve'adayin hayu gidolei kehuna notlin otan bezrawa. Which means you had Gidolei Kehuna, those were like the noblemen of the Kehuna, the Hashuv people from the Kehuna, they were still taking it by force. Because since they had status, these Kohanim, they knew nobody's going to argue against them. You know, if they take
triple and quadruple of what they're supposed to take, since they were considered dignified Kohanim in the group, so the other Kohanim are not going to argue with them. So still, it was not working out with the proper division. So what happened? So the Gemara says, Amdu Be'alim. So the Kohanim of the Mishmarot got up, Vikdishum Lashamayim, and they sanctified all of them to the Beit HaMikdash, meaning their value became Kodesh. Now the only thing you could do is sell them and use the proceeds for the Beit HaMikdash. As we're going to see, they bought gold tables with it in order to beautify the Beit HaMikdash. But that's it. Everybody lost out except the Beit HaMikdash. You can't divide it properly. You're fighting it. No more. We made it Hekdesh. There's a whole question. When did they make it Hekdesh exactly? So someone has said they made it Hekdesh from the inception, even before it came to them. See, that's it. It was an accepted fact. All these skins are Kodesh. So we have a question from the Maharam Halawa. He says, we have a rule, En Adam Magdish Davar Shelo Shelo. Meaning it's not theirs yet. I mean, they didn't get the skin yet. It's still on the animal. And they're saying, oh, the skin's already considered Hekdesh. So he says that this type of Hekdesh was not a legitimate Hekdesh. It was Hekdesh mitakanat hachamim. So it was like a rabbinical Hekdesh that they made. And the rabbis, because they saw the problem that was happening, they allowed them to even make Hekdesh in such a so it was a Hekdesh that was empowered by the Hachamim. All you have to say is that they made it Hekdesh every Friday, which means once the stack of skins were piled up already, when it became in their possession, that's when they made the Hekdesh. So therefore there was no problem of being Magdish something that's not theirs. It was theirs already. It was in their possession. Good. Gemara continues. Amru, lo ayu yamim mu'atim, short time after this practice, ad shechipu et ha'echal kulo betabla'ot shel zahav, which means the entire hechal of the Beit HaMikdash was now filled with these tabla'ot, these type of, what are you calling them? Plates of gold. They were able to plate the whole Echal with gold. Why? Because the Gizbar, the treasurer, sold these skins, took the proceeds, and he, you know, plated the whole Echal with gold. Now, it says, Shehen Amma al Amma. They were very, very thick plates. Amma al Amma, Ke'obi Dinar Zahav, with the thickness of a Dinar Zahav. Vileregel.
Tiles.
Yeah, like tiles, exactly. And on the Shalosh Regalim, what they do, hayu mekapelin otam, they would like fold them up, umenihin otan al gab ma'ala b'harabayit, they would place all the gold on one of the stairs leading up to the Temple Mount, outside the Azara, where the people were. Why? Kedeshiyu ole regalim ro'in shemelachtam na'a, to show the people that the service of the Kohanim is proper, ve'en badelim, there is no trickery, or there is no lying, or there is no falsehood, which means they wanted to show, listen, we're honest people over here. You know, we don't fight, we settle the orot, and we don't take the orot for ourselves anymore. We bought gold with it, so they wanted to show the gold, but not only you can't go into the echal. So they wanted to show the Jewish people what they did with the money. So they would take the gold out, they would put it on the place outside by the Azara, where they were able to see it, so the Jewish people know that the Kohanim are doing their job honestly, and there's no trickery going on. Okay. Comes Gemara and says, Tana, we have a light. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul says, Korot shel shikma hayu biriho. There were certain trees, you know, thick trees, sycamore trees, that they used to have in Yiriho. Vayu ba'ale zeroot notlin otan bizloa. So again, the guys with the muscles, the strong guys, would strong arm the owners, and they would take them from them. They would take these beams, the trees, they would steal the trees from their owners. So the owners saw that the Gazlanim overpowering them. So what are they going to do? Amdu ba'ali v'kdishum l'shamayim. So they had no options. The owners made the trees Hekdesh. Finished Hekdesh. We can't use it, neither can the Gazlan use it. Now it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash.
עמדו בעלים וכבישו לשמיים עליהם ועל כיוצא בהם people like this, I'm sorry, עליהם ועל כיוצא בהם, meaning on these bullies of Yericho that we just mentioned, ועל כיוצא בהם, and on the families of four כהנים גדולים, which also were considered bullies that used to take things that didn't belong to them. Amar Abba Shaul ben Botnit Mishum Abba Yosef ben Hanin. So we have a statement regarding these families. Right, what did he say? Oy li mibet baitos. Woe to me regarding the house of Baitos. Baitos was a family of Kohanim that were the Sha'im. So the rabbi said, Oy li mibet baitos. Means, woe to what's going to be with this family of Baitos. Oy li me'alatan. Woe to their sticks. Why? Because they used to take sticks or clubs and used to hit the people in order to take things that didn't belong to them. So the rabbi was referring to that. Oy li mebet hanin. Woe to the family of Hanin, also Kohanim. Oy li melechishatam. Woe to their bad advice. So the Mefashim explained that they used to go to the Roman government and they used to speak about their brothers, the Jews, in a disparaging way, and they would get the Jews in trouble with the government. So lihisha, lihisha is their murmurings, their words. Oy li mebet katros. Woe to the family of katros. Oy li mekulmusan. Woe to their quills. Because they used to write letters to the Roman government that also put the Jewish people in a bad position. They were Jews, but they got their brothers in trouble. Oy li mebet Yishmael ben Pi'avi, Pi'achi. Woe to the family of Yishmael ben Pi'achi. Now, as we're going to say later on in the Gemara, Yishmael ben Pi'achi himself was kasher. However, his family were these bullies that used to take the things against the will of the people. Oy li me'igrofan. Now woe to me from their fists. They were strong. Shehem, which is all these four guys that we mentioned above, Baitos, Hanin, Katros, and Yishmael ben Pi'achi, they were all Kohanim Gedolim. Each one was a Kohen Gadol, meaning of their families. Ubnehem Gizbarim, and their children were the treasurers of Hegdesh. Vehatnehem, and their sons-in-law, Amarkalim. Amarkalim is the... they were the ones that the important people that established the rules of Hekdesh. Amar Kalim, the way they explained that word is Sinotrikon Amar Kol, which is everything is said according to their words. They were like the managers of the Hekdesh. The Avdehen and their servants, Choftin Etam Bemaklot, they would take clubs and hit the people with these clubs in order to take money that was not lawful and coming to them. The Gemara has not nice things to say about all these families. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Arba Sevachot Savcha Azara. The Azara of the Beit HaMikdash cried or screamed three different screamings. Obviously the Azara can't talk. The Bein Ishchai explains that could be there was a bat called that came out of the Azara, on four separate times regarding the situation that was taking. Or we could just say it's a mashal. They're saying that the Azara would have cried out four times regarding these cases. What are the cases? Rishona, the first time the Azara screamed out, Se'u mikan b'ne eli shetime'u hechal Hashem. Way back, at the time of the Mishkan Shiloh, where Eli was the Kohen Gadol, and Eli had his children Hophni and Pinehas. They were the Kohanim. But we learned in the Navi, in the Gemara says as well, that they would, according to one opinion, they were adulterous, that they would, the Chas V'Shalom, commit Avon with the ladies that would come to the Beit HaMikdash. And some say, no, they didn't commit an act of adultery, but what they did was, they delayed the Korban of the ladies. They were just, they weren't there to bring the Qurban. As a result, after a lady gives birth, she cannot be with her husband until they bring this korban. So they were denying these ladies to be with their husbands, an extra night, whatever it was, until they decide to bring the korban. So the Gemara considers that a grave sin. And also they were taking chilek of the korbanot that they shouldn't have. So therefore he says, in the Hazara, the days of Eli, so, oh, Eli, mebet Eli, leave here the sons of Bnei Eli that are, defiling the Mishkan. Ve'od Savcha, the second time the Hazara cried out, Tse mikan Yisachar Ishkfar Barkai. Leave here the fellow called Yisachar from the village of Barkai. Shemichabed et atzmo. This guy himself, he gives himself a lot of honor. He was very, ego he had. Umehalel kodesh shamayim. But he has no regard for the korbanot of the Bet HaMikdash. Why? Davak karich yedeh beshira'eh. He would cover his hands up with silk. Ve'avid avodah, and serve. He didn't want to get his hands dirty with the meat and the blood and all that. So he was mebazeh. He defiled the korbanot. This is the korban of Hashem. Nah, he was too high for the service. So he put like gloves of shirayim, like silk on his hand, right? Now that's asur. Because the halakha says there ought to be a separation between the kohen's hand and the keri. Which is the keri that he receives the blood and does the service. His hands has to be touching it. This guy over here, he was right about himself. That he shouldn't dirty himself. But what? He didn't care about kodesh shamayim. How do you know that it's asur? Because the pasuk says, "Velakach haKohen midam haHatat." So it says the Kohen will take from the blood. So the Hakamim said, from there you learn that you have to actually take the keli itself. The Kohen has to take it. I mean, there's no hatzitza between his hands and the keli. And again, it's a bizayon. I mean, he's showing that as if the Kodesh is dirty. It's a bizayon for the Kodeshim. The Od Savcha Azara. The third item that the Azara screamed about is actually on something that was a good thing. Se'ur She'arim Rashechem. Azara would scream out, let the gates of the Beit HaMikdash open and receive who? V'yikanesh Yishma'el ben Pi'achi. Let Yishma'el ben Pi'achi enter, Talmido shel Pinehas. The Azara would say he's a student of Pinehas. Which Pinehas? The original Pinehas. Meaning the grandson of Aharon. Why? V'yishamesh b'chuna gedola. And let him go and serve as the Kohen of the Azara. Now, even though we just learned that the family of Yishma'el ben Pi'achi was, they were muscle men. And they were muscling their way in, but Yishma'el ben Pi'achi himself was Adam Kasher. Ve'od Savcha Ha'azara. The Azara also screamed, Se'u Sha'arim Rashechem V'yikanes Yohanan ben Narbai. Let the Kohen called Yohanan ben Narbai enter, Talmido Shel Pinkai, the student of Pinkai, V'male Kereso Mekoche Shamayim. And let his stomach be filled with the korbanot. Now, we don't know who this Pinkai exactly was. The Maharsha says that this Yohanan ben Narbai was none other than the famous Yohanan Kohen Gadol, which served as the Kohen Gadol for 80 years in the Beit HaMikdash. And then the Gemara Berachot Tafkaftet says he became a Tzeduki. So this Yohanan ben Narbai is referring to that person. The majority of his years, he could have been called a student of Pinehas, but at the end he went off. So therefore, they nicknamed over here Pinehas as Pinkai, because he really wasn't worthy to be a student of Pinehas. But since he was good for 80 years, so instead of Pinehas, they call him Pinkai, as if he was the student of Pinehas for 80 years. And if the 80 years he went off to Derek, so they don't give Pinehas they don't call him the grandson of Mamash Pinehas. Because you can't call him that. So they changed Pinhas' name to Pinkai. That's what Maharsha says. Now the Gemara tells us how generous Yohanan ben Narbai was. Amru alav al Yohanan ben Narbai. Shaya ochel he used to sit down to a seuda with his guests. Shlosh me'ot agalim. He would serve at each meal 300 calves. Veshote shlosh me'ot garbe yayin. And 300 barrels of wine. Now, normally the rule is whenever you see the number 300, it's used as a guzma. It's used as an exaggeration. It just means on his table there was a lot of meat always, and there was a lot of wine. The ochel arba'im se'ag gozalot. And for dessert, they would have 40 se'ah of gozalot. That's the birds. Bekinu ha'se'uda. Amru kol yamav shel Yochanan ben Narbai lo nimsa notar b'mikdash. As long as Yohanan bin Narbai was living, there was never leftovers in the Beit HaMikdash, which means like this, when the people, Kohanim, bring the Korbanot, so each Korban has to be eaten within a certain time frame. So, once that time frame is over, so then it's notar, you have to burn it. Yohanan bin Narbai was very generous. He would make sure to invite all the Kohanim of wherever they come from, and he would invite them to the Sa'uda, and he would serve them the Basar of Kodesh. So they say he was very generous. Every Sa'uda, there was meat flowing, and all the Kohanim would eat. He was very, very hospitable to his brothers, the Kohanim. Like you see the amount of food that was served at each meal. There was never no tar. There was always Kohanim to eat, because Yohanan ben Narbai brought them all to the Beit HaMikdash in order to eat. So the Gemara says, "Mai salkabe b'yisachar ish kfar barkai." Whatever happened to this... Yisachar ish kfar barkai. The Gemara said he wasn't a good guy. That's the guy that used to wear the silk gloves in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara wants to know, whatever happened to this guy? What was his fate? What was his punishment? So the Gemara tells a story what happened to him. He got into trouble with the king. Amre, one day, Malka u'malketa avu yatve. The king and the queen were sitting. This is the from the Hashmonai kingdom. Some say this was Yanai HaMelech and his wife. In any event, the king and the queen were sitting, and they were having an argument. Malka Amar, the king said, Gadya Ya'e. The king said, goat meat is more mishubah. It's better than sheep. The Malketa Amra, the queen said, no, Imra Ya'e. She said, no, sheep. Meat from the sheep is better than from the goats. This was the machloket. What's better, the goat meat or the sheep? Amru, so the king and the queen, they came to an agreement and they said, Man mochach, who's the expert? Who can we go ask which meat is better? They said, Kohen Gadol, we go ask the Kohen Gadol. They come masik korbanot kol yoma. The guy's bringing korbanot every day. He brings from the goats, he brings from the sheep. Well, ask him, Ata ihu. So they brought this guy, Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkai. Now he's in the past. He's going to now, he's going to try to reconciliate in this argument. Right? So he lifts his finger up in a not nice manner, in a little arrogant way. He points his finger. And he says like this to the king, if the Gedi meat was so good, Yisak Litmida. How come we don't bring it for the Qurban Tamid? She's every day, twice a day, 365 days a year, you brought a Qurban Tamid. Tamid Shel Shah, Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. And what was the Tamid Shel Shah and Ben Arbaim brought? Kevis. It's a Kevis HaTasim, Wokin Kevis HaTasim Ben Arbaim. So you're saying, if the Gidi meat was better than the Kevis meat, we'd bring a Gidi for the Tamid. That's the most popular Qurban of the year. So therefore, must be what? The king is wrong, and the queen is right. Amar Malka, so the king said, Hu'il velo habale imta de malchuta. Since this guy doesn't have any fear of the king, which is, first of all, he contradicted me. Yeah. He sided with my wife. Secondly, the way he's pointing his finger, as if he's talking over here to his friends, so the king didn't like this. He felt that the guy was being a little arrogant in front of the king. So, nefsikli mine. We're going to cut off his right hand. So what did Yisachar do? Yahav shohad. He gave bribery to the servants of the king who were in charge of cutting off his right hand. Upaskil ismale. And he had his left hand cut off instead. Because he still wanted to work in the Beit HaMikdash. And in the Beit HaMikdash, you need your right hand to do Tavodah. So therefore, he kept his right hand. Shama Malka, well, of course, the king heard eventually that this guy bribed his guys. Ufaskeli mine, and they cut his right hand off as well. So what do you see over here? You see over here that Yisachar got punished. He got punished because he used to put these silk gloves on his hands. So now what happened to his hands? They cut his hands. He probably only put it on his right hand. But what? He got punished that even his left hand got cut off as well. For wrapping it and, you know, not having kavod for the Beit HaMikdash. Right? Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar of Yosef, regarding this story, Rabbi Yosef was very excited. He said, "Berich Rahmana de Ashkele li Yisachar ish kfar barkai le mitrafse mine bay alma." Blessed be the merciful one, which is God, that placed on Yisachar ish kfar barkai his punishment as a retribution in this world. Now, what was so exciting? So therefore, the other Kohanim will learn from his behavior and what happens, and other Kohanim will now not dare to be, chutzpah, or not to belittle the keunah like this guy did. Another explanation is, he was saying, Baruch Hashem, that he got his punishment in this world, in order that he'd be able to go now to Onam Haba. That's why some of the Mefashim want to say, the Ben Ishai wants to say, that's why he mentioned his name. Tashkili li Yisachar. Yisachar is Hashem Tevot. Yisachar. Which means he was saying, could he got punishment over here? Because Yisachar he has in the next world. And he called him Ish Kfar. Right? Ish Kfar Barkai. So he says like this to Ben Ishai. Hu Ish Kfar haromez nekach she kuparlo. Kfar comes from the Lashon Kapara, meaning he's Ish Kfar. He's the one that now enjoyed Kapara. And the name of the guy's Kfar was what? Barkai. So the words Barkai, if you switch them around, can also spell the word Be'akrai. Be'akrai means temporarily, which means this is only a... Right, he's just trying to say Be'akrai. It looks like it happened by chance, which means if you don't put it together, it seems he just got, you know, a string of bad luck. He ended up in the king's palace and he ruled, you know, on a question that was asked, and all of a sudden they cut his hands off. So the Ben Ishai says, Ish Kfar, the one that got kapara, barkai be'akrai, meaning in a chance manner, but of course it's nothing by chance. God brought him to that situation in order to bring him kapara. I mean, it looks like it just happened by coincidence, we'll call it, but there's no coincidence. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Asher. Rav Asher says, Yisachar ish kfar barkai lo tanam matnitin. Yisachar ish barkai obviously was not a student of Mishnah or Braita. Because if he would have studied the Mishnayot of the Braitot, he would have known that really there is no preference between a Gdi or a Kevis. They're basically equal. Why? Ditnan. It says in the Mishnah Kiritut. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kevasim Kodmim Le'izim, Bechol Makom. Which is in most of the places, if you look in the Torah puts Kevasim before Izim. That's the... they give examples. For example, look in Shemot Yud Bet Hev, Vayikra Hevav, Zayin Chav Gimal, Chav Bet Chav Zayin, Bamidbar Tet Vav Yud Aleph, Yud Chet Yud Zayin, Devarim Yud Dal Adam. If you look at different places in the Torah, the majority of places, Kivasim come before Azim. The sheep come before the goats. Yachol Mepenesh Shemuvharim B'minam. Does that mean to say that because they're more... choice, they're more special. Talmud Lomar. That's why if you look by the Korban Hatat in Vayikra Dalad Lamed Bet, what does it say? Im Keves Yavi Korbano. But before that pasuk, it said Vehevi Korbano Sairat Izim. It quoted Sairat Izim before Keves. To teach me what? melamed shneim shikunim keechad. To come and really teach me, they're equal. That's why sometimes it says kevis before ez, and sometimes it says ez before kevis. So he didn't know this Mishnah. If he would have known this Mishnah, he would have answered the king and the queen. They're the same. In the Torah's eyes, they both have equal preference. So the Mefashim explain, let's say a person makes a neder to bring a korban ola. And he didn't specify what he's going to bring the korban ola from. Either from a kevis or from an ez. He said, Hare alai ola. And he has in front of him a kevis and an ez. So the deen is that normally you have to bring from the choice species. So the Gemara is saying over here, ez and kevis are the same. So if he can bring from whichever one he wants. So if he would have known this Mishnah, he would have saved himself. Last point of the Gemara, Ravina Amar. Ravina says, not only did this guy know Mishnayot, afilu mikra name lo kara, but he didn't even know basic pesukim. Dichtiv, because it says by the Korban Shelamim, im kesev is a keves, and I quote the end of the pasuk, hu makriv et korbano, which means the Torah is clearly telling you, for a Korban Shelamim, you're allowed to bring a sheep. And then the pasuk continues, im kesev, hu makriv et korbano, im ez korbano, which means you can also bring a ez, you can bring a goat, which means all this, all that, which is mashma what? They're equal. Iba e keves, laite. Iba e ez, laite. So therefore, you know, the pasuk is giving you an option. If the keves was better than the ez, the Torah would tell you, bring from the keves. And the fact is that you can bring either or, and show you what? That they are equal. Hadran, adach, makom shenagu.